You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Fight card we've had circled on our calendars for quite some time is going down tomorrow night on Fight Island in Abu Dhabi. UFC 253 will feature two big world title fights, including an absolutely fascinating main event for the UFC middleweight title. As we get you ready for tomorrow night and welcome you to the MMA Fighting UFC 253 preview show, I am Mike Heck, being joined by Jose Youngs on location in Abu Dhabi, and of course, the Prince of Positivity, Alex K. Lee. Jose, how is Abu Dhabi? Nice little view behind you. Obviously, it's nighttime. Is it like a million degrees there? What's it like out there?
A million degrees would be putting it lightly. It is like if Arizona and Florida had a child and named it Abu Dhabi. It's about 110 degrees with a humidity level of 80. I'm hoping my camera lens doesn't fog up because everything else is fogging up right now. I'm standing outside on the balcony of the Crown Plaza Hotel, one of the few buildings I can actually enter in this bubble that is the UFC 253 Fight Week behind me. You can't really see, but it's the beach and the golf course that is off limits to us, so we can look at it, but we can't go because we are in a bubble in the middle of a pandemic. But nonetheless, it's been a very busy week, so I haven't really even had the opportunity to even try to enjoy anything. But yeah, Abu Dhabi's hot and humid, to put it lightly.
Well, you're out there for a reason. You have Fight Island for the next 4 to 5 weeks, but it all starts tomorrow night. UFC 253, headlined by the Battle of the Unbeatens for the 185-pound strap. And things kind of popped off at the weigh-ins today between Israel Adesanya and the challenger Paulo Costa. This fight is already just so, so good on paper. And I feel like it's taken the perfect amount of time to brew and percolate, and it's all going to boil over tomorrow night, especially with what happened at the stare down today. Outside of the endless anime references you can understand more than anybody else, how excited are you for this fight tomorrow night?
Oh, even if I didn't like anime, I would be super into this fight. Like, the fact that it's two undefeated fighters in the prime of their career, two of the most dangerous guys in one of the most exciting divisions. I don't care that there's a title on the line. I don't care if it's an interim title. I don't care if it's an undisputed title. I don't care if there's no rounds where they're fighting in a parking lot or they're fighting on the beach. I don't care. This is just an absurdly high-level martial arts competition. I know Israel Adesanya says Paulo Costa isn't the best striker he's ever fought, not even in the UFC, which I do believe. I don't think Paulo Costa is the best striker he's ever fought, but this checks all the boxes for an absurdly high-level martial arts competition, and I can't wait. I don't know if this is the greatest middleweight title fight we've ever seen, but it is right up there.
AK, Dana White has been predicting that this main event tomorrow night will be not only the fight of the night, but the fight of the year in 2020. If that ends up being the case, then it will be not just the fight of the year, but it'll probably end up being like one of the greatest fights of all time if it surpasses Zhang Weili and Yuani and Jacek. Not saying that that fight is the greatest of all time at the moment, but certainly in that conversation. But do you buy into Dana's theory, AK, that when you look at the X's and O's of this fight, do you think this will be a fight of the year front runner?
Well, Mike, you mentioned X's and O's. We got to do some math here, because if we look at Israel Adesanya, who was already in one of the greatest UFC title fights of all time with Calvin Gastelum, and then if this surpasses that, I mean, look, we thought the fight of the year race was over with Joanna Jacek and Zhang Weili, and I still think it is. I have no idea how they're going to top that. But given the kind of fights we know Adesanya can be in, again, the Gastelum fight was amazing. Again, and some people would say, maybe the greatest UFC title fight ever. And we know Costa is capable of exciting fights. His fight with Romero was sensational. So I think the ceiling is legitimately that high. I don't like to do Dana White's work for him, but I think it would be dishonest to say that he's inaccurate in saying that this could be one of the greatest, if not the greatest, fights of all time, if everything plays out appropriately. Or we end up with a shadow of Israel Adesanya, Yoel Romero, and everyone goes home super mad. So it's one or the other.
I have to ask you, AK, you mentioned the ceiling, so we have to get the figure skating / gymnastics score for the level of difficulty that this fight card could reach tomorrow night. What's your number at on a scale of 1 to 10?
I have to be reasonable here because I think I said for the Colby Covington Woodley card, it was like a 9.5 because I think that card had like everything except for a title fight. But otherwise, as far as the grudge matches, big names, opportunities for people to make names themselves and generate highlights and boost themselves up the rankings, had all that and it delivered in many ways. This fight, I think there's a lot of good fights. So I don't want, because I don't want to downgrade any of the talent, but I don't think it has quite that same. That same pop that that Woodley Covington card had when you looked at it. So I'll definitely keep it in the nine range. I'll say this has the potential to be, a 9.2. I think that highly of the two main events. And also again, a lot of the potential action fights we have, which I'm sure we'll go over later. Because again, some of these names maybe not so well known to mainstream fans, but if they've watched any of their fights previously, tons of chance for people to steal the Fight of the Night award.
Jose, one thing that kind of stands out about this fight is that Adesanya, he's kind of had the spotlight upon him in every single fight that he's competed in, from his UFC debut to tomorrow night and even before that. And Paulo Costa has been awesome in the buildup to this fight. He's had great quotes, some good moments. It is personal. There's respect, surely, but there's a beef here that needs to be squashed. How much do you think Adesanya's experience in these types of situations play a factor tomorrow night? Because Costa's been in some big fights, but nothing like this between the stakes and the responsibilities that come with it, media, et cetera.
I don't know if the media has really gotten to Paulo Costa. He might have overestimated how much he's had to do. But I also think one aspect that people aren't really talking about is the time difference here, that they're fighting so early, and the fact that if you watch the media day yesterday or the other day with all the virtual scrums we were streaming, half the fighters were woken up because they're trying to get on the time that they're going to fight. So like if you watch the Dominic Reyes media scrum, it looked like he just got out of bed. It's because he did just get out of bed because he's trying to get his internal clock on the time he's fighting. Like the fight card over here starts at like 1 a.m, 2 a.m, whatever it is. So it can be prime time back in the United States for like East Coast and Pacific time. So I don't know if the extra media attention has got to him, but the fact that Paulo Costa, he's done these interviews before where he sleeps like 12, 13 hours a day. Like that's what he says, because he works out so much and then he recovers so much, which is like, he's like, I look like this because I train hard and I recover well. So it's throwing his sleep schedule off, his training schedule off. So I think if he does win, which is a big if, he's going to have to change something because he's going to have to do even more media. He's getting, his English is getting better, which means he's going to do the English media and the Brazilian media and all these media, especially virtual media, because he did a virtual media day for English, he did a virtual media day for the Brazilians, and then he did an in-person media day for us here. And at the end, I was talking to Captain Eric. He's like, Paulo's got to go to sleep. He has to train early tomorrow. So I don't know that the attention's getting to him, but it's definitely throwing off his training regime. Plus, it's five rounds, so that's even more he has to get ready for. So, yeah, the media attention is not affecting him. It's the change of his lifestyle that might be affecting him during fight week.
How would you rate the white belt at the stare downs? Would you think of that whole thing, Jose?
It was fun. I mean, I Izzy obviously got really heated about it, but I think it's just because he got in his face with it, because Israel's done some fun things. Like he pulled out the Cuban cigar when he did when he was staring down with Yoel Romero. I think if it was anyone else, it wouldn't have offended him so much. But the fact that Paulo's and him have been trading verbal jabs for so long, because it's like, again, like they weren't booked in their last fight, but this dates back all the way to when Israel Adesanya beat Brad Tavares. And he's like, I want to fight the juice monkey Paulo Costa next. And then Paulo Costa's like, oh, I've never heard of him. He's not even ranked. So make no mistake, this fight has been brewing for 2 years, if longer. So the fact that it's finally upon us feels like this fight build has been an eternity. So I think Israel Adesanya is just ready to fight this guy that he's been thinking about for so long. And Paulo Costa is having fun with it. And maybe Izzy's just finally had enough and he wants to throw down this guy. But I didn't mind it. Israel Adesanya obviously took offense to it, which made for good social clips for us. And I'm sure it did well to build the fight even more.
AKA, this fight is just so damn good. It's been broken down by people who break down fights far better than I ever could. We've hit this from all angles on all different shows over the last several weeks. Now it's time to make a pick. Who gets it done?
I mean, I have my pick, but I first want to say that I want to mention something Jose brought up, and that's, it's funny that this fight has been building up for like 2 years, and yet somehow it also feels like they nailed like just the right time. Like, I feel like if this had happened a year ago, it still would have been a great fight. We still would have been hyped. But something about it's simmered just, it's simmered to perfection, guys. I feel like it's same direction. So credit to the matchmakers for getting this done. And, again, the circumstances, of course, dictating when it happened, but we're all glad it did. And now it just feels, it feels just right. Unlike the Covington-Woodley fight, which felt a little past its best before it. I'm going with the champ. And still, I think, like a lot of people, I do think that the octagon size is going to matter. We do have the regular, larger octagon on Fight Island. So I think that's a factor. Even then, even in a small octagon, I think I would still lean towards Adesanya. He's such a great counter fighter. He's really expecting Costa to come forward. And if he doesn't, we've seen that he can win, maybe not in pretty fashion, but he can win a fight against a power puncher who doesn't necessarily want to engage and doesn't want to fall into his trap, which is, of course, what happened with Yoel Romero. The less said about that fight, the better, of course. But I actually think Adesanya will win. And I'm willing to go as far as say I think he's going to finish. I think he's going to finish Costa. I think Costa has an incredible chin. But I also think that Adesanya, you know, that whole thing of accuracy, right? Accuracy, power, precision. He's definitely the superior striker. I know in MMA that doesn't always bear out. You know, there's a lot of factors that go into it. Sometimes you can just get caught, right? And there's so many different ways to muck up the fight. Grappling could come into play, but I do think that this will be primarily a stand-up fight. And if that's the case, I just don't know if there's anyone at 185 right now who can win a straight-up striking battle with Israel Adesanya.
Jose, what do you think? Who's your pick?
Yeah, I have to go with the champ. I actually think Israel Adesanya is one of, if not the best strikers in the UFC right now, maybe ever. I know that's hard to say because we've obviously seen fighters like technically Semi Schilt has fought in the UFC and Gokhan Saki is still on the UFC roster. Anderson Silva, Mikko Krokop, and so on and so forth. But I put Israel Adesanya right up there with the greatest kickboxers of all time in terms of striking in MMA. But I got to go with the champ. I know Paulo Costa really likes to press the action and rip to the body, which opens him up. Israel Adesanya takes advantage of his opponent's mistakes like no one else I've seen outside of Anderson Silva in a very long time. And I know Israel doesn't really like the comparisons to Anderson Silva because he's his own man, but the comparisons are there. So I have to pick Izzy. I'm going to say third, fourth round. The fact that we've never seen Paulo Costa in five rounds has to play a factor. I mean, Israel Adesanya, I think his fight against Kelvin Gastelum I'd put it one, two, or three in greatest title fights I have ever seen in my entire life. I do like what AK said, where this fight has been simmering so perfectly, because I think the fact that his last fight, Israel Adesanya's last fight against Yoel Romero, the way it played out was so lackluster, makes us want to see action from this man, and I think Paulo Costa's the man to bring that to him. So I agree, this fight is absolutely perfectly timed, and I think Israel's last fight makes it that much more intriguing. But I think Israel Adesanya has way more tools striking wise. I have to call Paulo Costa is clearly the better grappler. He's a black belt, for crying out loud. Israel Adesanya is the far superior striker, but Paulo Costa hasn't really done much grappling in MMA, especially in the UFC. So the champ, inside three or four rounds, I think he's just a completely different level of striking than we've ever seen in MMA.
Yeah, I think most people would agree that if this thing ends quickly, it's going to be Costa who probably gets his hand raised. But once he gets to like the third round, things change in a big way. And not saying that Paulo Costa doesn't have five round cardio, because as you said, Jose, yeah, we haven't seen it before, so we don't really know. Yeah, but
we just don't know. For all we know, he could have the best gas tank in the middleweight division and he just barrels through him. But I've heard, like, Izzy's been saying this a million times, it's basically the Matador versus the Bull, and that's perfectly what it is. Paulo Costa is going to blitz forth with these crazy body shots and hook. Like, let's not also forget, Paulo Costa is incredibly accurate with his strikes. He hits hard and he hits often. He just has to catch Israel Adesanya and land these punches, and he's never fought someone like Izzy. So again, Izzy, third or fourth round, but I'm not going to say he's going to style on Paulo Costa like a lot of people are. I think it's a lot closer than people are making it out to be.
Yeah. I mean, you just got to believe that the longer this thing goes, the more it favors the champion. The creativity 100%. Is just unmatched. Great takedown defense, which plays a huge factor in a lot of his fights. Terrific defense overall. He's very advantageous. Paulo's a monster, and one shot can change the whole entire complexion of the fight. But I lean Adesanya. I think his jab's going to be a huge weapon, and Costa's going to be dangerous at all times. But now the co-main event will be historic, AK, because for the first time since March 19th, 2011, yes, I have Typology open for this, for the first time in nearly 3,500 days, we're going to have a light heavyweight champion in the UFC not named Jon Jones or Daniel Cormier. Dominic Reyes takes on Jan Blachowicz for the vacant, undisputed 205-pound title. Reyes coming off that fight with Jones back in February that I thought he won, that most people thought he won. It was the first official loss of his professional career, and Blachowicz has won his last three, includes a pair of ferocious knockouts of Luke Rockhold and Corey Anderson. AK, this was the only way to decide the next step for the light heavyweight division. What sticks out to you about this one?
I just love that we're moving on. I love that we're moving on from Jon Jones. I say we're moving on. Of course, I fully expect whoever wins on Saturday, and I don't mean to be cynical because there's some reasoning to it. I know there's gonna be a lot of reaction. Well, neither whoever wins, oh, this guy couldn't beat Jon Jones. He's not the real champ. And I'm like, look, guys, the champs aren't always made in ideal situations. That's just not how it works sometimes. Even Cormier never beat Jones, right? And I would hope by now no one questions his greatness at 205 pounds. No one is saying he's better than Jones, but he's certainly a legitimate light heavyweight champion, one of the greatest light heavyweights of all time. I think that's fair to say. Now, whoever wins the fight, of course, is not immediately going to be granted that status. They both have impressive records. Jan is a veteran. Jan, even before coming to the UFC, was a top light heavyweight. So now that he's been able to sort of show people how good he really is against UFC competition, it's nice that he's getting that recognition. But this is the start of something. I think another thing Dana White that said was correct earlier this week was, you can ask all the questions you want about oh, what does this mean to you, Dominic Reyes, or what does this mean to Jan Blachowicz, or how do you think fans will view the winner? And it's like, he said their records will speak for themselves, and that's true. We won't really know how to compare them to the former champion or Dan Cormier until really 18 months from now after one or two title defenses, and see how they fare. See how they are they gonna be highlight reel wins and be exciting decisions, boring fights possibly. We don't know. So there's a lot to take in there. But the fight itself, I think, is a really great matchup, and it's just really good to see. I think two of the, from what we know, two of the better guys, I think, getting this shot. It's say what you want. Maybe they're not the greatest trash talkers. Maybe not the most dynamic sports personalities that prize fighting fans prefer. But they are the deserving guys. And it's nice to see one of them will become champion on Saturday, barring anything strange happening.
Interesting point, AK. Jose, I want to get your thoughts on that because I feel like this is different than Daniel Cormier. Like Daniel Cormier, there was the rivalry. He lost to Jones. Jones was stripped of the title instead of vacating it on his own. And Dominic Reyes is much more competitive than Daniel Cormier was. But just like most people feel, he's the uncrowned champion of the world. So if Dominic Reyes wins tomorrow night, I feel like most people view him as the champion anyways. So maybe the Jones shadow won't loom as much. Blachowicz may be a different story, but I feel like with the way things have played out, this may not be the same thing that happened like when Daniel Cormier won the title. Do you agree with that, or you still feel like Jon's shadow is gonna loom no matter what happens here?
It's gonna loom no matter what. I do agree with it. It might not be as big because I think the fact that Jon Jones, like, he beat Daniel Cormier like pretty decisively the first time they fought, and then he vacated the title because he got that hit and run accident. We didn't know because we always knew he was going to come back. I think that was the thing. At some point, Jon Jones is going to come back to the light heavyweight division, and we all assumed Daniel Cormier would still have the title then, and then they would eventually fight, and then they eventually did. So it was pretty much a Daniel Cormier was holding the belt until he fights Jon Jones again. At this point, we don't know if Jon Jones will ever return to light heavyweight, so we might never see Dominic Reyes or Jan Blachowicz fight the former champion who gave up his belt willingly to move up to heavyweight. So I think AK said it best. We just have to move on because if he never fights at light heavyweight again, Jon Jones, I think it would be a travesty, especially against Dominic Reyes, because I actually think Dominic Reyes won that fight 3-2. But the fact that we don't know, we have to move on. This isn't a placeholder fight for the impending return of a former champion. The winner of this is now given the mantle of carrying this division into the foreseeable future against these up-and-coming fighters like the Corey Andersons and the Alexander Rachiks and the Jiří Procházka. So it will be there. To be the man, you got to beat the man. But Jon Jones is a heavyweight now, and he's not coming back anytime soon. So the winner of this will be the rightful light heavyweight champion.
Yeah, you New England boys might remember former Boston Celtics head coach Rick Pitino, his famous, listen, yeah. I'll paraphrase him. Listen, Jon Jones isn't walking through that door. Daniel Cormier isn't walking through that door. So these are the guy. These are the guys we got. Let's just appreciate it. Let's work with it. So there you go. There's a little Boston sports reference for you guys.
The difference is Rick Pitino is an atrocious coach for the Boston Celtics.
Terrible.
Shout out to former Providence College head coach Rick Pitino. But yeah, I see what you're saying.
One of the greatest coaching speeches of all time. You just forgot the "it stinks, it sucks, and it stinks" behind it, but an epic thing. Well done, AK. AK, I want to go back to you because I feel like these guys have this pressureless, not completely pressureless, but this sort of pressureless window to go in there and create a memorable title fight because it's flying under the radar big time compared to the main event. And the last time we saw an Adesanya headlined event happen, the co-main event stole the show, which happened in March. Could that happen here? Could lightning strike twice?
Yeah, I think so. I think it would be a tall order. I do think stylistically, as we said, kind of Adesanya and Costa are just so perfect for each other. Which is not to say that Blachowicz or Reyes is like a clash, because we know both these guys can put on exciting fights. I mean, Blachowicz is Ronaldo Jacare fight was really good. I think both fights with Manu. I mean, the second fight with Manu was freaking awesome. And then Reyes, of course, the John Jones fight was really exciting to watch. And so the potential is definitely there. When I make my official prediction, I'll tell you now, I am expecting a finish, but I also wouldn't surprise me if they go all five rounds. Both guys are super tough, really, really tactical. You know, they're not going to rush into anything. They're both very respectful of each other's power. So it's really going to be a great tactical battle. Yeah. I don't know. I hope people don't, I just can't help but think that people are overlooking it. Like, I know you're thinking it has a chance to steal the show. I worry the opposite. I worry that people are so geared in on Adesanya and Costa that they might not give this the credit it deserves. But who knows, once that cage door closes and these guys start throwing just like that, you know, like you said, it could steal the show, right? It could, and maybe we'll be talking about this, fight at the end of the year and not Costa and Adesanya, but can't be sure for now. But I'm looking forward to both. Definitely a little more the main event, but you know, Reyes and Blachowicz, maybe not the best at selling a fight, but if you just look at their records and you've seen them fight, that should sell it, you know, sell the fight itself.
Right now, Blachowicz around a 2-1 underdog, averages around a +205, depending on which site you look at. But Jose, do you agree with those lines? And are you going with the upset or with the favorite Dominic Reyes here?
I mean, I favor Dominic Reyes. I think Jan is an awesome fighter. I think he's incredibly underrated because he has some losses to some really high level fighters. But he's been on this awesome tear. I feel like even going back to like the Luke Rockhold fight, maybe even before, they basically were using him as this stepping stool for his opponent to get the next title shot. Like if Luke Rockhold was talking all this greasiness to John Jones and they matched it up with Jan Blachowicz, and Luke Rockhold just completely overlooks Jan. And I would have to imagine if Luke Rockhold had beaten Jan Blachowicz, he would be fighting for the title because the connection with DC and AK is there. And then the same thing, Jacare drops down, Jan Blachowicz has to welcome him to light heavyweight division, and Jan Blachowicz just beats him in Brazil in five rounds. And then for sure, if Corey Anderson had beat Jan Blachowicz in New Mexico, he would 100% have the title shot because him and John Jones are going after it. And Jan Blachowicz just keeps on winning. He's an incredibly underrated, high-level, all-around talented fighter who hits like a Mack truck at light heavyweight. I just think Dominic Reyes is faster. I think he's more accurate. I don't know if he hits as hard, but I think he'll hit more and he'll get hit less. So all that together, getting hit less, hitting his opponent more, and hitting his opponent at a higher clip, I just think Dominic Reyes wins. I'm going to say somewhere in the third or fourth round. I don't know if this goes all five, but who knows? He's been putting a lot of people away, but he's also been fighting to a lot of decisions. Like who was it? The Volkan Ozdemir fight? I think he took him to a decision, if not mistaken. And then he put away Chris Weidman, another guy who probably would have got a title shot if he had beaten Dominic Reyes. So I just have to go with the younger, faster, more accurate fighter in Dominic Reyes. But I am a huge, huge fan of Jan Blachowicz's fighting style, and it's a lot. Again, I said that for the main event too, but I think it's a lot closer than people say. I just give the slight edge to the faster, younger Dominic Reyes.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, I go into this fight believing Dominic Reyes is the uncrowned 205-pound champion. I thought he beat John. I thought he should have the belt already. I felt like this should be his first title defense. So in my eyes, he's already the best 205er in the world, and I think Jan could obviously land a powerful shot and do some damage. He's done it many times before, but I think Dominic is just going to be a slight step ahead of him throughout this fight, and I think he gets a late finish. AK, who's your actual pick here? Like, you've kind of laid out the groundwork that's going to go deep, maybe go all five, but who gets their hand raised and the shiny belt wrapped around their waist?
I'm picking Reyes, but I want to make a case for Blachowicz here. this guy has been the underdog. He's won 7 of his last 8 fights. He was an underdog in 6 of those wins. He was an underdog to Devin Clark, Jared Cannonier, Jimmy Manuwa, the rematch, which was fair. I mean, Manuwa had won the first one. Nikita Krylov, he was underdog. There's a slight, by the way. There's a slight, when I say underdog, slight underdog. Then he lost Thiago Santos, which was fair. And then almost a 2-1 underdog to Luke Rockhold. And by the way, I think I picked Rockhold, so I'm an idiot as well. he was favored over Shakade, and then almost 2-1 underdog again to Corey Anderson. So this guy, in the last 2 or 3 years, he has been the ultimate, as Jose pointed out, has been the ultimate spoiler at 205 pounds. You are not going to step over this man for a title, which is exactly what Dominic Reyes has to do tomorrow. He has to step over him. So I honestly don't know. I do not feel as strongly about picking Reyes as I do Izzy. If I were to ask which one we're confident about, definitely the Israel Adesanya pick. I think I feel it really strongly he's going to be Paulo Costa. But I would not be shocked at all if after Saturday night, Jan Blachowicz, again, not really brought into the UFC as an instant contender. Again, certainly respectable and known for his work with KSW, but not a guy who you thought like, oh, this guy is guaranteed to be fighting for a UFC title someday. He could really realistically become the champion on Saturday night. I don't think people should be shocked at all if that happens.
And you know who, I just want to add one thing. You know who favored Jan in a lot of those fights? Dominic Reyes. He said it in his media scrim. I asked him, I go, he's basically been a stepping stone. He goes, yeah, but looking at all those fights, I knew Jan would win. So I think Dominic Reyes is taking this fight so seriously because he knew how good Jan was all the way back then. And so he said he's been obsessing over this fight. And Dominic Reyes is a psycho when it comes to preparation because he has that analytical mind that he talks about so much. You always see those videos of him on like the treadmill watching tape all day. So again, awesome fight. I just slightly favor Reyes.
All three of Dominic's brothers will be in his corner, which is a pretty cool addition to this fight. And you know, it's just the two title fights are great. And the rest of the main card shapes out with a really fun fight between Brandon Royval and Kai Kara France. That one's going to set the table beautifully for the title fights. Caitlin Vieira takes on the quick returning Sajara Eubanks, and then Hakeem Duwadu versus Zubaira Tugagov, who missed weight by 4 pounds. Ludovic Klein also missed by 4 pounds ahead of his prelim fight with Shane Young. Duwadu Tugagov will move forward as scheduled, I'm told. As of this recording, no word on Klein and Young. Unless you heard something, Jose, I don't really know, but I haven't heard anything.
I cannot imagine Shane Young not taking this fight because he hasn't fought since like February 2019, if I'm not mistaken. He had that spinal injury or something crazy like that. And when I interviewed him with the rest of the City Kickboxing boys, he was so hyped to get back. There is no part of me that thinks this fight will get canceled. And if it does, it won't be because Shane Young doesn't want to fight. It'll be because he's like his opponent's done medically cleared or the UFC decides he can't fight. So, but it's up to Shane. He's 100% fighting.
They all faced off, right? Everyone faced off, right?
Everyone faced off. Yeah, Shane Young did the haka on his stare down, and Dana White had no idea what was happening. So, he did a Maori war dance.
Yeah.
Before a UFC fight, you think that guy's gonna pull out of a fight? Come on.
And Dana White, I think he was motioning to one of the medics.
Completely no sold it.
I think something's wrong.
It's like, what is happening? But it was awesome. It was absolutely awesome.
Yeah. So that's usually a good indicator that those fights are still on. I think I've seen it reported that they're both on, but no one knows the purse percentage. I'm not sure if that's because
I've asked. It's undisclosed right now.
Yeah. I wonder, is that normal in on Fight Island? I thought they'd had fights before someone missed a win, and we did get the percentage, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, gotta believe we're sniffing the 30% territory with both of these fights. But either way, you know what time it is. It is under the radar time where we look at this card, we find a diamond in the rough that isn't getting enough love. And when you see these two title fights and knowing that we spent so much time on both of them, there's 9 choices to choose from because they're all flying under the radar. So Jose, we'll start with you. What is your under the radar pick for UFC 253?
Same. I'm going to do what I always do. And I don't necessarily pick fights that I'm overly excited for, but I pick a fighter specifically that I'm very excited to watch. I am a huge fan of Hakeem Dawadu. Apologies if I mispronounce his last name. He is one of the angriest people I've ever interviewed in my entire life. We interviewed him in Edmonton. I interviewed him in New York for his Madison Square Garden fight. He is just kind of like his nickname, Mean Hakeem. He lives up to that nickname like no one else. He lives the gimmick, man. But all week I've been interacting with him. He is all smiles. He is a completely different person for whatever reason. He's not bubbly by any means. He's still all business, but he doesn't have that chip in his shoulder as I've seen him do. And he firmly believes if he wins this fight against, quote, the man who punched Conor McGregor, as he refers to his opponent, Zubaira, he wants a top 15, top 10 opponent. And I'm can't imagine they all can't imagine they're gonna say no to him, because remember his last fight at Madison Square Garden, he goes, I will never fight on the prelims again. I do not want to open cards anymore. And now he's on the main card. So took a little issue of Max Holloway calling himself the new face of Canadian MMA. So the chip is there, but it's not as apparent this week. And then of course of Shajar Eubanks is I believe the first fighter on the UFC roster to fight on the Jacksonville cards, a UFC Apex card, and the UFC Fight Island card, if I'm not mistaken, because she fought on those the original pandemic cards when I was in Jacksonville. She's obviously fought most recently in the Apex, and now she's here on Fight Island. So making history in the women's bantamweight division, and the women's bantamweight division doesn't have a lot of contenders. I'm not saying that'll be the best fight against Kellen Vieta, but it has a lot of title implications. Then I would be remiss if I didn't say all the City Kickboxing boys, just because I had a very enjoyable interview with all of them. And Kai seems to believe 1-2 wins, he gets a title shot, and Brad Riddell has his eyes firmly, and he really wants to welcome Michael Chandler to the UFC, but so does Dan Hooker. So all those guys, I'm really excited to watch fight.
What do you think, AK? And by the way, just to go on the Hakeem point, if he was looking for a chip, he's got one now. Now Zubaira missed weight, so now I'm sure he's back to from kind of nice to all the way mean again. AK, what's your under-the-radar pick?
I mean, for anyone wondering why I said this card has so much potential beyond just the four big names at the top, I mean, almost every fight I would say has some compelling storyline, or the chance to be an absolute banger. I think like Kai Kara France, Brandon Royval. I'm so glad it got the third last spot in the card, because that to me shows a lot of respect to these two guys. And I do think one of them is a future flyweight title contender. So that's very exciting to see. Dawoud Tukugazmi, a banger, of course. Brad Riddell, I don't know if he can have a boring fight. That's going to be sick. Young and Ludovic, super exciting. William Knight Kammer, very intriguing. I'm getting to my point, by the way. And I'm really
that
excited to see.
That fight's not last in one round.
I'm really excited to see Juan Espino finally fight after the last Ultimate Fight, possibly the last ever. I'm not sure what's going on with the Ultimate Fighter. I know they keep saying they're bringing him back. But for now, I will call him the last Ultimate Fighter winner, finally making his post-Ultimate Fighter debut. So that's interesting. But I shouldn't say this because I've been an advocate for a long time. I've actually wanted to see this guy hang it up. But I think of the prelims, I will be most fixated on the Diego Sanchez-Jake Matthews fight. With Diego, I have gone past the point of being mortified with him continuing his career. There was that stretch where was it? Joe Lauzon, Iaquinta, Matt Brown. He was just getting messed up. And every fight you're like, we don't like to make this call for the fighters. But boy, if he retired tomorrow, I don't think any of us would object. And then we would have our chance to just to fet him properly and celebrate him. But he kept going. And then he kept started winning. And now you're like, now you're in that stage where how far can this go? Really, how far can this go? So I'm super, super fascinated by what Diego does now. For better or for worse, I really think this is going to be a compelling fight. I think people expect Jake Matthews to roll over him. And Jake Matthews, super talented guy. He's got that right mixture of, he's kind of still entering his athletic prime, I feel, but he's also a UFC veteran because he came in when he was like 19. And as I've noted on some other shows, he was 11 years old when Diego Sanchez was on The Ultimate Fighter. That is insane. So it's just a very cool fight. If Jake wins, I mean, I don't say it's a passing of the torch, because again, I don't think Diego's moving on. I think he said he does want to fight out the remainder of his contract. But it would be a cool moment for Jake Matthews. But I think Jake Matthews really has to respect this matchup, because again, Diego Sanchez has beaten some younger guys who were supposed to roll over him. Craig White, Mickey Gall, not guys whose experience is Jake Matthews, but talented people who were certainly favored heading to that fight. So I don't know if it'll be the best fight of the prelims, but boy, I will be engaged for as long as that one lasts.
I think Diego's the best underdog on the card.
I just want to say this fight really reminds me, and I just thought of it, is when Gilbert Melendez fought Arnold Allen. I think it was UFC 239. And I asked Arnold Allen, I go, what do you remember most about watching Gilbert Melendez? And he goes, I hadn't even had a pro fight when Gilbert Melendez fought Benson Henderson. He was 0-0
when Gilbert Melendez made his UFC debut after his run at Strikeforce. And then he ended up fighting him at one of the biggest pay-per-views ever in Las Vegas. So I have to favor the Young Guns too. But Diego's been oddly really calm all week. He hasn't been out there like everyone thinks he has. His media day was very, very reserved. He's very zen, as he refers to himself. He credits that with he doesn't care if he wins the title anymore. He just wants to go out there and fight. So it's That's a different big. Diego than I think a lot of people have been expecting.
Is Fabio there? He's there, right?
He is there. He's but there. So is Stefan Bonner. He hasn't made Fabio a lot of appearances. Stefan Bonner's been with him for most of the I've seen him. But as far as I know, Fabio's there.
Anytime
two
of the original Diego, Ultimate Fighters. Yes. Anytime Diego Sanchez is involved, we're in for a wild time. That's just Diego, and we love that. I think the obvious answer, Kai Kara France versus Brandon Royval is the under the radar fight of the entire card. So big good. Showcase spot for 125. But I will say, because it was obvious, I think Young versus Klein could be a lot of fun, because Klein is a tough, tough customer on short notice. Very powerful guy. I think he's a misfit veteran. Shane Young has looked great since his loss to now teammate Alex Volkanovski. But like I said, any of these non-title fights would qualify for that title. It's one of those cards.
Let's not forget, Klein is the first Slovakian fighter, but like born Slovakian fighter in UFC history. So Shane Young told me he is thrilled to invite a new culture into the octagon, but he's like, too bad they have to lose first.
As we put a bow on another preview show here, AK, any final thoughts before you say goodbye?
I just want to say one more thing about Shane. Well, I got two things to say. One more thing about Shane Young is, if the UFC knows what they're doing, this guy should be one of their bigger stars going into 2021. A super exciting fighter, great personality. He said some amazing, incredible things about mental health in New Zealand earlier this week. You can find that clip on MMA Fighting on our social media and YouTube everywhere. So great personality in that sense. He did the haka. That's putting yourself out there, man, because that kind of stuff is like, again, it's you know how people are. Dana White could have shrugged, he kind of shrugged it off, but could have, I don't know, made a face at it or something. But this guy knows the personality that he wants to project. And this early in your UFC career, that's really big. So I hope by the end of 2021, I don't know if he beats Klein or not, I am picking him, but I hope this guy is one of the bigger stars and they realize that. He has so much potential. And I want to go all the way back to what Jose said at the beginning, that Abu Dhabi was the birth child of Arizona and Florida, and segue that into a big congratulations for Amanda Nunes and Nina Ansaroff, who just had Nina Ansaroff just gave birth to their daughter Reagan Ann. What just incredible stuff! Two really, really awesome. Great UFC athletes, awesome. And a really cool story. So they just gave, I believe this had happened last night, and they had pictures up on social media. So you guys go out and check that out.
Yeah, it's very cool. What a way to wrap it. And one thing I will add about, because I know people are going to ask about William Knight and Alexa Kamar. I'm the New England guy. Why didn't I say that? one thing I will say, because I like the matchup, I'm very high on both of these guys. One thing I will say, William Knight will be in some serious danger at some point in this fight, because he's in serious danger in every single fight that he's in. So whether he wins or loses, I don't know. But at some point, William Knight's going to get in trouble, and he's going to find his way out of trouble, and then things are going to get interesting, and we'll see what happens. So that should be a lot of fun. But UFC 253 goes down tomorrow night, early prelim start. It's 7 p.m. Eastern on UFC Fight Pass, and then it's on to ESPN2. And then simulcasting on ESPN Plus at 8 Eastern, and then streaming on ESPN Plus pay-per-view at 10 p.m. And it should be a heck of a night. Jose is on site with interviews from the fighters of every fight. So keep it locked to that. Anyways, just stay with us, MMA Fighting, the entire time for all things UFC 253 and Fight Island. So for Jose in Abu Dhabi, AK Lee, I am Mike Heck. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.